106 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Tuesday style. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Warm reception for President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump at the ball game last night. We lost them. We lost the warm reception.
Uh-oh.
What happened to the warm reception audio? It was there. I swear it was there. And now it is. Now it's not there. We'll get that here coming up in just a little bit when I figure out what the heck is going on with the computer.
It was warm, though.
It was. There we go. Now let's. They're saying try it now. Okay. Let's see. Well, it's not wanting to play. I don't know. This is live radio, so oh well. Just picture there would have been a great piece of audio right there.
Yeah, the computer stayed up late last night watching the game.
Which, by the way, just a side note here, because we'll get our buddy Quinn Hillier on in just a second, who knows a little something about New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. If you have business in Louisiana, I would put it off till after lunchtime today, probably.
I'd say so. That's a safe bet.
Tonight, as we honor our nation, please remain standing and welcome members of the ROTC units from Louisiana State University and Clemson University, joined by the President of the United States and the First Lady.
And then there was a big controversy that Vince Vaughn was hanging out with President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump.
Seen, I guess, shaking hands and palling around with the Trumps. And
Now he's getting scorn on social media.
Yeah, social media. The left on social media going after Vince Vaughn now, which I'm still not sure. A lot of people don't know Vince Vaughn, a libertarian, pretty devout libertarian.
He's so money. Baby, you're so money.
And that's, Steve Scalise was in that same box on the other side of the president.
Quite a place to be last night. All right, a man who spent more than an occasion in that dome. It's the man behind QuinnHillier.com. Read his work in the Washington Examiner. And pick up the trilogy for Matt Jones right now over at Amazon. Did I hit those all correctly, Quinn?
Yes, you did, and including all the time spent in the dome, probably hundreds.
Yeah, you've worn out a seat or two in the dome. And by the way, just side note, I know you're a sports fan. As somebody who didn't have a dog in the hunt last night, I thought that was a great football game.
It was really interesting, especially when Clemson scored after the second half and brought it within 3 points. Mm-hmm. And you start to say, oh my goodness, this is going to be a barn burner. Of course, LSU shut them down after that. But yeah, it was a good game.
All right, a lot to talk about. You pointed out something to me as we were talking during the news break. You said right now over at Drudge, there are three stories over at Drudge that are debt and deficit stories.
Yeah, I mean, this is the great ignored story of our time, and I sound like a broken record on it, but you know, Cassandra got in Greek mythology, became a buzzword. To be a Cassandra is to offer warnings well in advance, and people forget that Cassandra was right. You know, now you say, oh, he's a Cassandra, he's just, you know, he's a worrywart, but Cassandra proved right. The debt and deficit situation in the country is awful. It is the worst it has ever been, both private and public, in the history of the country, other than World War II, which obviously had reason to be. And as bad as it is, or as bad as it was last year, the deficit this year is already rising at a pace 11.9% ahead of last year's pace. And it's just unsustainable. Jim Rogers, the big investment guru, says that when we finally pay attention, when the bill comes due, it's going to be the single worst economic thing we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And that's the second story out on Drudge, is him saying people pay attention to this. Of course, you've got a group of people not paying any attention at all, that group of people being Bernie Sanders supporters, because even CNN, Ronald Brownstein, no conservative, has a story out today headlined, "The Cost of Sanders' Agenda Would Set a Peacetime U.S. Record. He would double federal spending from its already record levels." And, of course, there is no way to pay for that, and that would bankrupt the country. So all of you, you know, people wanting to feel the burn, yeah, you're going to feel it. It's going to burn a hole in your pocket and in your wallet, because he's going to confiscate every bit of wealth that you've earned, not just wealth, every bit of earnings you get in order to pay for all of his projects. It's crazy to support a big socialist like Bernie Sanders.
People always think, Quinn, that it's going to be the money, they're going to take it from somebody else.
The dollars, I mean, as even Brownstein says, nobody has actually asked Bernie to explain how he would pay for it, and that's because he can't. There is no way to take money from the wealthiest 1% or 3% and distribute it all and cover all of the costs that he wants and still have the people have that same wealth next year to grab next year. I mean, you cannot do it. And the numbers just don't even come close to adding up. It's insanity.
And you have Sanders with his idea, and maybe the runner-up to that, Elizabeth Warren's not far behind in the socialist platform.
No, she's not. And the bizarre thing is that because you've got Sanders and Warren and some of these others, Tom Steyer and these other people, now you've got the national media calling Joe Biden a moderate. Now, even 15 years ago, the idea of calling Joe Biden a moderate rather than a very, very liberal person would be just ludicrous. You would laugh. I mean, he is an old liberal rather than a hard leftist, but he's no moderate. He is a very liberal guy, and he's moving further left in order to try to keep up with these people. So this whole Democratic field is so far left as to be totally irresponsible.
Now, here's the problem, though. There's a bunch of people that are listening to that rhetoric and saying, yes, get that money.
Get what money? That's the point. You cannot
but they don't
make
know.
The
they don't, they
add
don't,
up.
They don't, but they're not, they're hearing what they want to hear because that's a message that is soothing. It's a soothing opiate that we're going to fix everything because we're going to go get somebody else's money. And if you don't, you know, if you don't delve into it and listen to these contrary opinions, you think this is good. Finally, somebody's going to get it, make everything even.
Yeah, but just, I mean, you know, are these people that didn't even take second grade arithmetic? I'm not talking about higher math. I'm talking just basic arithmetic. It doesn't add up. And for that matter, we have, at least on paper, the strongest economy we've ever had. We have unemployment running under 4% consistently. How can there be enough problems out there to need all the spending that Bernie Sanders is suggesting? I mean, right now, the number of people needing welfare, needing food stamps, are way down from a decade ago. What do you need all the new money for?
Well, and the problem is, though, you're talking about something that's bipartisan or nonpartisan, and that's ignoring that issue. I mean, I've gone round and round with this over the years. There's certain elected officials I'll bring on the show because I know they like to talk about that, but they are very few in number. And after I finish one of those long-form discussions, my text line and email is full of people going, Sean, you don't get it. Nobody's ever going to call in the debt on the United States. We can do this forever as long as we don't get over this percentage. Everything's fine. This is how normal, operations are done. And that I'm Pollyanna because I'm worried about it.
They're just wrong. I mean, at some point, especially if foreign nations or foreign entities keep holding more of our debt. And right now they don't hold as much as most people think, but China holds, I think it's about 8 or
9%. Yeah, 8%, which bothers me. That's darn close to 10%.
It's like 8 rising to 9.
Yeah.
And total foreign holdings of our debt are what, 15, 16, 17, something like that.
Yeah, where have we gotten the rest of the money from?
From our own bank.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, but you know what? Our own banks, if there is another, recession at all, a stock market downturn, just like 2008, 2009, and the banks need to start calling in their loans because a lot of people are not paying off their home loans, suddenly our banks go to the U.S. government and say, pay us back.
Wait,
and the Chinese go to the U.S. government and say, pay us back. And suddenly the only way to get out of the mess is either to let there be a very large crash in at least one sector of the economy, or to suddenly inflate the economy so much that prices go through the roof.
Yeah.
And it's scary because it could be Jimmy Carter style stagflation, mm-hmm, times three or four.
Yeah, we could point out, so some of those banks say, hey, wait a second, remember we bailed Joe out, you get in the back of the line.
Well, exactly. I mean, the point is we're in uncharted territory. Total public debt, not just debt held by the public, but total government debt, including intergovernment debt, is now nearly 106%. Anytime you're over 100%, you're in a serious danger zone. Greece was 120 when it had its horrible crisis. So was, I think, Portugal was about 125 when it went into major, major crisis. Up until a decade ago, we were down well below 70, and now we're over 100. That's scary territory. We're right at the borderline of when it becomes unsustainable.
You know, but here you and I are talking about it. I talk about it with some frequency on the show. Doesn't drive, you know, other than people telling me they're there, everything will be fine. It doesn't drive the conversation. Watch the watch network news tonight. Watch cable news. Yeah, I know Drudge has three stories on it today, but it is not A-block stuff. It does not seem to get traction with people, even
which
though I think it's so important.
10 years ago, the number one issue of the Tea Party was federal spending, debt, deficit.
Preach.
And they won. I mean, Republicans picked up a net gain of, I think it was 63 seats, an extraordinary number in the 2010 elections, and it was driven largely by the Tea Party concern over spending, deficit, and debt, and, you know, some other things the Tea Party was interested in, too. But there are not enough Tea Partiers to pick up 63 seats for one party. So it was the Tea Party message resonating out in middle America. So how have we gone in 10 years from that huge concern to now the single most profligate 4 years in American history?
I tell you what we have to do. We'll have to have a long-form discussion down the road about that, because I've lamented this. I watched the Tea Party rise. I was doing talk radio, and I was so very excited because it was a movement based on exactly what you said, fiscal policy, debt and deficit, right-sizing government. But within months, it had been co-opted, and not trying to pick up a fight for today, but it had been co-opted by social conservatives. And,
well,
and at that point, it got off the rails.
Okay. And I'm a social conservative, too.
I know, and I'm not trying to impugn you. I'm just saying that took over. That became
only in the Deep South, only in like Alabama and Mississippi.
Okay, well, that's where I saw
the country. The Tea Parties maintained a much more economically libertarian emphasis.
Yes.
Places like New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio. The Tea Parties there were much less focused on social issues. They were much more heavily focused on debt, and spending. And ours was, too. It's just that ours added the social issues, which I happen to agree with.
But I think they took over.
But
I think they took over the movement.
It was spending, debt, size of government.
There we go. I think they took over the movement at that part. Hey, can you hold on during the news break?
Sure.
All right, Dan, coming right back. More with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. He's working at the Washington Examiner. Talk about one of the latest stories he has up over at the Washington Examiner. But President Trump should enforce America First in a suit against Honduras. Hey, thank you, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by the maids. Call now. Get a free estimate. See what we've been doing in our house since October, and that is having a lot more time and a lot cleaner house by using the maids. 344-6626 gets you that free estimate. And one of the things that this time of year builds up inside houses, you have the doors open less, all those kind of things, dust and allergens build up. Well, the Maids professional vacuums have HEPA filtration and capture 99% of all dust, allergens, bacteria, pollen, pet dander, and other pollutants. You smell the fresh when you walk into the house. And they do 23 steps of cleaning in your home. And it is a fantastic feeling to have that just fresh house when you walk in and have that time back in your schedule you've been using cleaning your own home. So get the free estimate today for the Maids. It's just as easy. Pick up the phone, 344-6626. Their phone number, 344-6626, or Googling the Maids for Mobile and Baldwin County. Get them set up, come by your house, and get that free estimate. Once again, the Maids. Continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier, and I want to shift gears here for a second. A story you have over at the Washington Examiner that is linked right back here to Mobile.
Yes, indeed. And at first, I thought this was going to be, you know, only a local story. I couldn't get editors interested in it from a national angle, and then suddenly yesterday I found a national angle to it as well, and that's a good one. What this is a 22-year-old story going back to the hurricane that devastated Honduras, and we had a local guy, Murray Farmer, and a company get hired through foreign assistance, U.S. Agency for International Development, got $250 million, our taxpayer money, for hurricane relief, and they go out and they oversee contracts to send contractors to rebuild a country. And this local Mobile firm went and was rebuilding their entire potable water system, water and sewerage and stuff like that. The president of Honduras signed the agreement with USAID. The local firm did the work, did it so well they got a certificate of appreciation from USAID, and then Honduras pulled a fast one and didn't pay them. They got the money from USAID, which they were supposed to then pay to the contractor, but they didn't pay it to the contractor. And so this has been going on for basically 22 years now, and our local guy he won in Honduran court, and even after he won in Honduran court saying that Honduras owed him, the Honduran government still didn't pay. So now he has filed a whistleblower suit alleging that Honduras defrauded the U.S. government. And get this, the U.S. government, USAID, for reasons of its own, which I can go into, has decided to make a motion to dismiss the whistleblower lawsuit, which is, and the motion is being heard on Thursday this week in federal court. So this guy the company was screwed out of some $51 million, or worked out of, I should say. We lost dozens of jobs when the company went under, because they weren't paid. And now the U.S. government is basically taking Honduras's side because it's too much bother for them to say, well, if this lawsuit passes, we got to go to Honduras and collect, and they don't want to do that. It's a mess.
Wow. And we just have 2 minutes here, but why would the United States? I mean, just because it's too much trouble? I mean, is that a policy?
Well,
USAID?
Okay. First of all, there are all sorts of ins and outs as to the way that our money goes. It goes, you know, taxpayer to USAID, USAID to Honduras, Honduras to, you know, and there are all sorts of places in between where there might be some funny business. We don't know. But what we do know this is, in their brief to dismiss the case, they say this impinges on U.S. foreign policy because, in effect, it makes the U.S. government adversarial to Honduras, and even though it's a lawsuit, Honduras might look at it as part of U.S. foreign policy, and it might interfere with our relationship with Honduras.
So they
now, that sounds like Barack Obama foreign policy. It doesn't sound like Donald Trump foreign policy.
Right.
Donald Trump foreign policy is like, wait a minute, America first, You're a client state of ours. We are helping keep you afloat. You darn well better live up to your agreements. Well, that's what Trump foreign policy writ large is. But USAID is saying this Barack Obama sounding, well, we don't want to rock the boat kind of thing. So I said, okay, if you're America first, the Trump White House should intervene and say, we're going to pull this motion to dismiss and let the case go forward on its merits, rather than try to prematurely dismiss this case and weigh in for some stupid reasons of foreign policy that doesn't sound very Trumpian.
Wow. If people want to read this story and more, where do they go?
Go Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. It's the top story up there right now.
Or they can find you on Twitter. I guess they can link it through there.
Yeah, I haven't really tweeted it much because it only came out last night.
All right. That in your Twitter handle?
Is at Quinn Hillier.
All right, Quinn, we appreciate it. And remind folks, too, got 30 seconds here. They haven't picked up the trilogy yet. How do they do that?
They really should. It's a fun read. Go to Amazon and look for Mad Jones. Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, Mad Jones Agonistes. They're fun, fun reads. Satire and modern media politics and religion. Good, fun fiction.
There he is, Quinn Hillier. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Coming right back. Your phone calls at 343-0106.
Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5, 8:35 now on this Tuesday morning. Let's talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, we've been dealing with some weather here the last couple days, lots of fog, and what a great reminder, body shop at McConnell Automotive.
That's
is
right.
Top
We've got
of the line.
First-class body shop back there. Gary Turner and all of his guys back there, they'll help you out with all your insurance claims. Just give them a call at 251-476-4141. I'm sitting here, Dalton, trying to buy a few cars down in Orlando, and hopefully we'll get those here at the end of the week and get some fresh inventory in here, and we can rock and roll. Everybody out there needs to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's some of the hot new vehicles you have on the lot?
Well, the hottest stuff we got now, believe it or not, are Buicks. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to buy an 18 Enclave right now, and we can't keep them. The Enclaves, the LaCrosses on the used car side, certified. It's just they're going out of here like wildfire.
And if someone wants to sell their vehicle, well, McConnell Automotive will buy it from them.
Yeah, just give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You can go see McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 8:37. Wrecker Man on the text line asked how much in aid do we provide to Honduras? This is a story from back in March from USA Today. Said, historically, the United States has viewed foreign aid programs of Central American countries as a vital component of stabilizing the countries. Except Venezuela. Venezuela was doing just fine on their own until they weren't. Potentially halting the flow of immigrants seeking to migrate to the United States. Under President Trump, aid to the countries has already plummeted. U.S. provided about $131 million in aid to Guatemala, $98 million to Honduras, and $68 million to El Salvador in 2016, according to Reuters. The following year, the funding fell to about $69 million for Guatemala, $66 million for Honduras, and $46 million for El Salvador. So it goes on. In April, President Trump also threatened to withdraw aid from Honduras as a caravan of migrants fled the country. The group, which grew to as many 1,600 migrants, grew smaller as it moved north. But remember that story. So, I mean, maybe Reckerman is asking, I mean, number one, just of interest. So it looks like this year we provided the $66 million in aid.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've got a situation where, I mean, the argument being made, and from Quinn's story, the argument being made is that, this lawsuit is affecting foreign policy. But, you know, you got an American company that's been defrauded for that much money 20 years ago. I'm with Quinn. I think you let this case go forward. Whether we're providing them aid or not, that doesn't make it okay to cheat and defraud an American company.
And there's also an article here recently over the last, I guess about a week ago, CNN put an article out that we're also looking to maybe send some of the immigrants coming into the country out to Honduras. So I don't know if that'll be conditioned on maybe more aid going to Honduras.
What, returning their citizens or citizens from other countries?
Citizens from Mexico and whoever else might be coming.
So they go to the south of Mexico?
Yeah.
So when they migrate out again, they end up back in their own country?
I guess so. I guess that's the plan, but I guess that's in the works now.
All right. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Reminder 2, Ad Hoc Committee, which I just love. If I was a rapper, that'd be my name, Ad Hoc.
Ad Hoc.
But the Ad Hoc Committee.
Hopefully you'd get better a better recording system than we have with the city council right now.
Don't get me started with the audio from the city council. But they have a meeting at 2 after the main city council meeting to talk about some of the money involved in this proposed ordinance from Councilman Joel Days about pulling the city back from the PJ. We'll talk more about that coming up. All right, Fireball in Mobile is first up. Hey, Fireball. Hey, Fireball.
Sean, you talking about defrauding a United States company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the Democrats defrauded the United States citizens when they went into our Social Security money.
Yeah, well, that's also been
the dollars out of it.
Let me point out too. Let's be fair. That's been bipartisan. When they broke the lockbox, there have been Republicans that have signed on with bills that have taken money from Social Security. But Fireball, don't worry. It's all. They're going to get it all back to us. Everything's fine.
And you honestly believe that?
Why do you think I spend so much time investing and trying to make a real retirement for myself?
Exactly right. The American citizen don't know what to do about it because there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, we're told, though, I mean, they haven't come out and said, you're not getting your money, right? They've said you're going to get your money. So, I mean, there's no way to legislate around the fact, other than the ballot box, the fact that people don't believe that.
Right. Exactly right. And my next point, and you already know what my next point is.
What's that?
Epstein did not kill himself.
There you go.
I told you where I've been since back in December.
Yeah, because everybody flips to one side. You gotta take the other side, right?
I can't stand it. So I am going to be my new conspiracy, because I'm conspiratorial off the conspiracy. I believe Epstein did kill himself.
You know, I got to hand it to...
There's the hot take.
I got to hand it to Mike Gallagher, who comes on after us. He's really good, got a great show, but his ability to laugh at the same level every time someone calls in and says Epstein didn't kill himself. He mentions he's an actor. He's really good at putting the same amount of laughter into every single time someone says that.
There's a lesson to be learned there. I can't do that. I can't. So that's one of my problems. Yeah, he does over and over again. Oh, by the way, side story has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but the way I filter news out there, the way stories I'm grabbing, fat cat stories, overweight, obese, morbidly obese cat stories seem to flow into...
You're not talking about...
No, not Washington fat cats.
Okay.
These are literally felines that are overweight. You know, we've talked about this a whole bunch on the show. For some reason, I have some weird obsession with these stories. News breaking out of KOKH in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma Humane Society has taken in their newest chunk. This cat's name is Lunchbox.
Nice. Lunchbox the fat cat.
The cat is named Lunchbox. What chance did he have? Lunchbox currently weighs 23 pounds.
Wow.
Average adult cat weighs about 7.9 to 9.9 pounds. And they said he is receiving special care to help him shed those extra pounds. I may need to check in with him. But yes, the cat Lunchbox.
23 pounds. He's not hiding under any couches.
No, it's a good thing. The cat's not going to get away from you. He's not going to go get under anything. He'll be wedged there. You'll have to use the jaws of life to get him out.
You can see his paw strike way ahead of time. Not fast.
I don't know which part I like more, these 23 pounds or that his name is Lunchbox.
That's a great name.
Pretty fantastic. All right. Let's see here. A couple of... On the fiscal policy thing, it is true that it doesn't resonate with people for some reason. And I don't know exactly why, but it doesn't. It doesn't seem to get the attention that, I mean, think about the attention and the time. And not saying you shouldn't talk about the impeachment proceedings and all, you know, all the they said, he said, she said discussions go on out there in politics. But that's all involving personality. Remember, and I told you all that I just, maybe one of the things that makes me weird in this business is I don't obsess with name calling or getting into personalities because I find them insignificant to policy and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can see some of it, and other than cats named Lunchbox, I don't, things I see that I worry about. Now, there can be individual elected officials that are players in that, and then you talk about them, sure. But this issue for deficit spending is one that I was on before we launched this radio station, which, by the way, we're over a decade old now. I used to talk about it in my rock and roll days. You talk about getting an audience that didn't care, you know. And then on forward through, I mean, I don't care if it's Bush. I don't care if it's Obama. I don't care if it's Trump. This is an issue that is a big deal. And the American people, we the people, just don't seem to it's way down the list of things that work because we think nothing will ever happen.
I think it's that. I think there's several reasons. First, I think a lot of people have misplaced trust that there are smarter minds out there mm-hmm. in charge of the policies that will take care of it eventually, which I think is a bad way to go. But also, you know, you don't want to focus on the negative things that could be coming your life.
It's not good campaign material that you're gonna get less services and pay the same amount of taxes. People don't want to hear that.
You're not, and it's not getting pounded into your head day after day by the media. You don't hear, you know, you don't turn on. I think you mentioned this while we were talking with Quinn. You don't turn on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC and the lead story. I wonder when the last time the lead story was the U.S. deficit.
And it might have been, like Quinn said, around the Tea Party. Which, like, and maybe he's right, in other parts of the country it kept its fiscal focus, but I saw it here very quickly. I was very interested in the Tea Party. I said, man, something's going to happen here. And it quickly, in the discussions I was having with Tea Party folks, we ended up talking more about, you know, because it's what can get you elected.
Mm-hmm.
We started talking about social issues, social conservative issues, because that's what gets people to fill in the Scantron by a Republican's name in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it. And I saw it quickly devolving from something that was fiscally focused that I thought could go outside a party and get independent voters and people on board who are worried about the future of our republic to where it just got to be, you know, Democrat versus Republican, Republican versus Democrat, back to the same old.
Yeah, and there's so much pressure within both parties. Once you get the office, they want you to keep the office, and then everyone else who's running underneath the president, they've got to worry about their own reelection. So unless somebody runs for president and wins the nomination and then does a bit of a 180 once they get into office and say, ha, now we're going to just focus on cutting this deficit down. And then in that case, there's no chance they get reelected.
That's no truer words, for sure. All right, coming right back, got phone calls. We'll get to y'all at 343-0106. Reminder, too, you want to catch a podcast of the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming that we're doing around here. You can get those by going to fmtalk1065.com, clicking the link for podcast, or better yet, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher,
Spotify, Deezer,
TuneIn Radio.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, Deezer. We've really made it now. In year 11, we're on Deezer. I'm pretty proud of that. 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Tuesday. By the way, Mike Gallagher show and his laughs about Epstein killed himself will be on at 9. And then the sourpuss Sean Sullivan will be back on at noon today with his theory that Epstein did indeed kill himself. Let's go to the phones. 343-0106. And Earl is in beautiful Locksley, Alabama. Hey, Earl.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for the call.
I'm a retired veteran. I'm a disabled decorated veteran.
Thank you.
I did 5 combat tours.
Wow.
Basically.
Wow. Thank you.
And a lot of the places that, you know, you bring up this Honduras, but see, what people don't understand is Honduras is only one part of it. I mean, you got other places, like when we went to the Panama and Panama Canal, when we went to Bosnia, Croatia, you know, I seen, you know, things that with my own eyes that I did not understand. Our government, you know, we were over there paying. We were paying them to cross their land while we were over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going in as a peacekeeping. And our government was, you know, we were giving them money to help them. And the reason, you know, the reason I like Donald Trump, I mean, I'm a political science graduate from the University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. I studied political science, but I went on a little further and did a minor in international studies to where I could get a grasp on how we were economically, you know, advancing other countries outside of the U.S. instead of, you know, instead of our infrastructure ourselves.
Yep.
You know, and if you remember, I mean, I was born in 70. So back, I remember my grandfathers, you know, and my pa, you know, they were all talking about how back in the 1910s, 1920s, and 30s, you know, it went down and then they started, you know, exporting. We were exporting a lot and we were building a lot. We got away from that. Donald Trump is trying to bring us back, you know, to a new age. You know, imagine, man, 2020 to 2025, what he can do after what he's done in the first election. It could be astronomical for the United States.
It could be. Well, and we'll see. I mean, right now, I don't see anybody, Earl, that is going to beat him on the Democrat side. So unless there's, I think they're going to bring somebody. I think they got a player to be named yet. They're going to bring in, but the people that'll be debating tonight up in Des Moines, or no, they'll be at Drake University. Yeah, I don't think can beat Donald Trump. By the way, we're close to the same age.
I don't see a Democrat candidate that is going to even, you know. I hate to say it, but being that I'm political science, I'm going to tell you, I don't, both political parties, to me, I kind of agree with George Washington. You know, when George Washington said that political parties was going to be the downfall of American government. I do think that we have a problem with the political parties because the Democrats have used it over the years saying, oh, wait a minute, there was a switch. And Republicans used to be for the rich, and Democrats were for the poor. If you remember, there were three parties in the 60s. I think it was Republican, Democrat, and then you had the Democrat-Republican Party.
What about
there
the Whigs?
There were three parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when they kind of split. You remember when Richard Nixon ran?
Well, I was a little young, but yes, I've studied it, yeah.
Yeah, I studied it, and that's when the kind of like the Democrat and the Democrat Republican Party at that point split, and then you had Republican, Democrat, and you had Independent. Some of the Democrats and some of the Republican from the Democrat Republican Party kind of leaked over into the Republican and the Democrat Party.
Yep.
So you had a lot of people that were biased against Republicans. And the Democrats jumped on this train where they said, oh, there was a switch. And they got a lot of people to come to the Democrat Party because they had them believing that Republicans were leaked over and the Democrats were bad. And it helped them.
There we go. Earl, I got to jump here at the end of the show, but I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. Thanks for your service to our nation. And we'll do this all again tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, regarding whether even if Trump does win re-election, so much of what he might be able to do in the next term relies on the Republicans holding the Senate, and then we'll see what happens in the House. But can you imagine the gridlock if Democrats have the House and the Senate and the president's reelected? I don't know if we'd ever see anything get done again.
Now, by the way, somebody's asking, am I serious? I think there could be somebody else. Yeah, I do. I mean, if you have, listen, the old rules of politics, they're gone. Even though some of the things we see now that people think are the first time ever have been part of our republic since its inception. But the idea that there could be a new name coming, because I mean, when Bloomberg got in, and Bloomberg spent a ton of money.
He and Steyer.
Yes. But when Bloomberg specifically got in, that was because he was a big backer of Biden. So when Bloomberg got in, that tells me Bloomberg and Bloomberg's money people said Biden can't win.
Mm-hmm.
To me, out of the candidates that will be on the stage tonight for the Democrats, Biden has the best chance of winning. So if Bloomberg knows something and getting in, and he's taking his money away from Biden and backing himself, that says maybe they don't have a candidate that their internal polling tells them they can beat President Trump with. But maybe there's somebody else waiting in the wings that they bring in.
Is her name Hillary?
No. But it is her name. But her name is not Hillary.
That's a tease.
Talk about that coming up on the Midday Show. Mike Gallagher on the way next.